I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray today that you're having a good day. Did you know that in our country and in our world today, we need to have another Pentecost? We need to have something like the early church had back in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, and so forth. But today, I want to look in the book of Acts chapter 2, and we'll not read all of these verses, but you can read them later on. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And I want you to know that there's not going to be a Pentecost today without Plentecost. No Pentecost without Plentecost. Let me invite you to write me today, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. And if you can't remember my last name, just simply put down there, Lewis, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. I'd like for you to write me and let me know that you're listening to the program, and I'll be praying for you. And also, write to us and let us know that, the program is being a blessing to you. If you'd like a free transcript of this program or other programs of It's a Good Life, you can write to me and I'll send you absolutely free of charge a transcript of this program. These transcripts are provided by BibleTranscripts.com, and we appreciate that so much. You can also go to our website, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. You can download transcripts there, transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. You can also on that website leave prayer requests. You can send us an email. You can also find Bible study helps on the website, lrwm.org. There's also daily Bible readings there that you can have your devotions with. Now today we want to look at the subject, No Pentecost Without Plentecost. Notice in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." And in chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible continues on there, and it talks about how that these people, they had been praying for so long that God would do something. And we're seeing here that the beginning of the local church, how that God blessed these people. There was praying. Jesus believed in prayer. Jesus was one who prayed often. And we see that just before he was offered up on the cross of Calvary, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 44, it says, "And being in agony, he," that's Jesus, "prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down on the ground." There was praying in the early church. There was praying, and there was praying for many different things. And I noticed today that we need to be praying as God's people. We need to pray for ministers. In 2 Corinthians 1:11, it says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." We need to be praying for the ministers of the Word of God. We need to be praying for the saints. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We need to be praying today, and this may shock you and this may surprise you, but we need to be praying for Jerusalem today. We need to be praying for the Israelites. In Psalm 122:6, it says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." And there's many other verses that tell us that we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray God's blessings down upon the people of Israel. We not only need to be praying for ministers today, we not only need to be praying for all saints in Jerusalem, we need to pray for all men. In 1 Timothy 2:1 it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We need to be praying for the servants. Or maybe you have a business. Maybe you're the boss. Maybe you are the manager of a store, or you're just over a group of people. You have people who serve under you. In Luke chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, it says, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. We need to be praying for those who we may be a manager of. They may be a worker that we're in charge of. We need to pray for these people. And we need to pray for friends today. In Job chapter 42 and verse 8, and I've often wondered, were these really friends of Job who came by? And they kind of tormented him. But we look at this and we understand that these were friends of Job's. And in chapter 42 and verse 8 of Job, it says, therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. God instructed these people to take the sacrifice to Job, and Job would pray for them. He would pray for his friends. And then we need to pray for our enemies. In Jeremiah 29:7, it says, and seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. We're to pray for our enemies. We have enemies around us. We have people who would despitefully use us. The Bible says we should not pray for their destruction, but we need to pray for them. Pray for those people who are unsaved. Pray that they will trust Jesus as their Savior. Pray for our enemies. And then we are to pray for those who forsake us. 2 Timothy 4:16. Do you ever have someone forsake you? Do you ever have a friend turn his back on you? Well, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Notice what Paul says. I pray God that it may be that it may not be laid to their charge. Paul prayed that God would not do something that would cause a problem for his enemies, but that those people who forsook him, that they would be blessed of God. No Pentecost without Pentecost. And then we see not only was there praying in this early church, but in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, there was preaching. Simon Peter stood up. He lifted up his voice and preached. In verse 14 of Acts 2, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. In 1 Corinthians 1:18 it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There are people who make fun of preachers today. That may shock you. But there are people who make fun of the man of God who stands up and preaches the word of God. In verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 1, it says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Well, is there another way to go to heaven other than the preaching of the word? Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Is there another way? The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way to heaven other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, there was praying, there was preaching, and then there was praising. people praised God. Praising God describes the people in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. They were mindful of Psalm 100 and verse 4 where it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Psalm 145 and verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." There was much praising that day on the day of Pentecost. There is no Pentecost without praising God. We need to turn our hearts and our minds and our souls over to the Lord. We need to look to him and we need to praise him today. And we look on and we understand that on the day of Pentecost, there was purity. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." A person who is right with God is going to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 6 and verse 3 says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." This verse speaks of seven men of honest report. These people, in the book of Acts, in the beginning of the church, these people were living in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. That verse says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." D.L. Moody once said, "I have had more trouble with myself than any other man I have ever met." He also said, "A man ought to live so that everybody knows he is a Christian, and most of all his family ought to know." These people at Pentecost were sold out to God. They sold out to God. There was purity. Their lives exemplified their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, finally, there was persecution in that church. In chapter 8 and verse 1 of Acts, it says, we're told there that there was a great persecution against the church. And Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." John 5:16 says, "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus." And then in John 15:20, the Bible says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me," this is Jesus speaking, "they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." In other words, they listen for things to hold against you. They listen for things that might be interpreted as something that you didn't even mean it to mean. Your words can be turned around. Dwight Moody said this, "We can stand affliction better than we can prosperity, for in prosperity we forget God." And finally, there was power. Fear came upon the souls there, and many people came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There is no Pentecost without Pentecost. Fall on your face today and ask God to send the power down that we may see our country turn around. Until this same time, next week, may the Lord bless you richly is my prayer. Look at our website, lrwm.org. May the Lord bless you.
But I